Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to Pop Off, the show where we take your favorite movies, music, and TV, and we rank them. I'm your host, Ethan Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in. Check out more Ithacan podcasts wherever you're listening to this, or go to theithacan.org. Now, ladies and gents, today is a big day, because today we break the Pop Off formula. Yes, sir. For the first time, you won't be getting a standard top 5 or top 10. I will be going through every year of the 2000s and giving you my favorite album of the year, with maybe a couple honorable mentions, but it's not just my favorite albums of the 2000s that you'll be hearing today. We've got today's guest, Sam Zaslow Braverman. Sam, welcome!
I genuinely didn't know it was Kaufman. I thought it was Kaufman. I gotta make some calls.
This changes everything. You happy to be here? You excited?
I am recognizing that there is nowhere else I can be at the moment. No, I'm kidding. I'm happy. I'm happy to be here.
All right, you're more into music than me, maybe.
I feel like we have, like, a pretty equivalent amount of, like, I mean, like you don't make it, but, like,
I don't make
we both, like, listen to it, you know what I mean?
So this episode is maybe a little easier for me because I did a 2000s album deep dive. I did this last year over 4 months. I listened to 200 albums, 20 from each year.
Oh, my God.
And then made, like, mini ranked lists of each year. So going into this, I already had some idea of what I was going to be doing for each year, but still.
I'm, like, not even, like, fully an albums guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Your taste is also way more niche than mine, I think.
Yeah, I love, like, Tame Impala. Did you know that Tame Impala is just one guy? Crazy.
So crazy.
Nutso.
Nutso. No, yeah. You're, like, I think of you, and I think of slowcore and experimental hip-hop, and I'm basic. I'm, like, a basic music nerd.
I mean, yeah, but there's something to be said about that, you know? Like, you're not as pretentious as I am.
I'd like to think I'm not.
I mean, we're both in Park, you know?
We are both Parky.
Some of the music I listen to is, like, a little bit out there. Don't pass me the ox. No, sir.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how much overlap we have, because I feel like there are going to be some albums on your list, I'm sure, that I haven't even heard.
Maybe.
Probably, like, a couple.
Like a few, you know? Like,
yeah. But no, yeah, just because we're doing one album per year, with honorable mentions, pretty much all of my picks, say for I think two, are 10 out of 10s for me. Mm-hmm. So, as usual, I love everything I'm going to be talking about.
Gotcha. I love most of the things we're going to be talking about. I
love most of the things.
Yeah, there are certain years that just, like, weren't phenomenal.
Should we get started?
I think we oughta.
I'm going to go first.
Okay.
With 2000, which I will establish before I even give you my pick, is probably my favorite year of the 2000s for music.
Yeah, it's a nice round number. It's a nice round. You don't get confused.
No, it's so, there are so many albums from 2000 that I love immensely. My pick for 2000 is insanely basic. It's Radiohead's Kid A.
Okay, yeah, there we go. So embarrassing. I have not listened to Kid A
yet. You haven't listened to Kid A. You gotta listen to Kid A.
I know, man. That's
what are we doing? Yeah, so Kid A is talked about so frequently as the greatest left turn in the history of music, which is, like, it's pretentious. It's a thing that Radiohead fanboys say. It's kind of true, because you have something like OK Computer, which is so art-rocky, alt-rocky, and then this, which injects so much electronic stuff into it. Idiotech is, like, fully IDM, which is so cool. The album cover is crazy good. Is one of my favorite album covers of all time. It's, like, really cold, dismal, feels so much like the music.
I've seen the album cover. It makes you feel like you're, like, lost on, like, some kind of, like, moon.
Yeah.
Not like the moon, but just, like, a moon.
Yeah. Everything in Its Right Place is probably one of the greatest opening tracks of all time. How to Disappear Completely is not my favorite Radiohead song, but you could make the case for it being their best. I would not disagree. I'm just already doing my thing where I go through the whole track list and
name every song.
Yeah, National Anthem is crazy. It's so loud, just like a wall of jazzy noise, and it's so great. Motion Picture Soundtrack is a beautiful closer. Optimistic is severely underrated, and I feel like it could work on, like, an OK Computer, like a Hail to the Thief, something like that. Because it feels less Kid A, but it rocks. It rocks so hard. This is one of my favorite albums ever. How have you not listened to this, Sam?
So, like, I'm really into the, just, like, the idea of, like, complete left turns, like, art-wise. You know, yeah. Like, Lil Yachty did it with Let's Start Here.
Yeah.
Recently, the rapper Lil Jon, you know, like, Turned Down for What?
Yes.
He just released a guided meditation album. Swear to God.
The Andre 3000 flute album from
that,
last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that was crazy. I really like that one. I don't know. Like, I just, like, love when, like, people just, like, say, like, frick what we did before.
No, yeah. This is essential listening for you. You must put this.
I'm going to get on that today.
Please do. This is a top three album of the decade for me.
Top three album of the decade?
Yes.
Wow.
What is your pick for 2000?
The Unseen by Quasimodo.
Hey, little Quas, once you run it down, how them little piggies be trying to run.
Hey, yo, we head to a party to go see what's happening. Smoking a lot in the car, turn on some rapping.
Big fan of that album. It's like this, like, crazy, like, energetic, like, rap sound collage thing. It's, like, really jazzy. It's psychedelic. It's actually the alter ego of the hip-hop producer Madlib.
I always forget that.
Yeah, no, like, yeah. He made all of his own beats, and then he wanted to rap on them, but, like, his voice was so deep, he felt that, like, he just, like, couldn't really do it justice. So what he did was he rapped on his beats at halftime, and then he sped it up two times.
That's crazy.
So his voice kind of sounded like this, which I think is, like, a really interesting way of doing it. It was, like, really experimental at the time, still kind of experimental now. It's just such, like, a beautiful, like, sound train. You know what I mean? There's, like, all these, like, random skits. It's so trippy. Like,
When I initially did my deep dive for the 2000s, I use Album of the Year now to keep track of my stuff. You use Rate Your Music because you're even more
pretentious than
I am.
I'm a piece of crap at the end of the day.
No, but when I did my deep dive, I was using Music Board, which, like, it's a great site, but it has a lot of, like, functionality issues. And one thing, it's really buggy with just information. And so it didn't list this as 2000. It was, like, I think it listed it as, like, 2005 or 2006, but I haven't gone back to it since. I really do want to, because from what I do remember,
it's so cool.
I'm going to get into some honorable mentions for 2000.
Oh, by all means.
We move the train along, because there are so many. Stankonia by Outkast.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything more needs to be said. Avalanches, Since I Left You.
That was going
to
be on the list, yeah.
Nice. Crazy sampling on that.
Yeah, I think it was like 3,000 samples
that
used across the creation of the
album. I was about to say that's too many samples. It's not. It sounds really good. I like it. I like how it sounds. Yeah. I have White Pony by Deftones, which was, like, really my introduction into, like, nu metal, that type of stuff. Erykah Badu, Mama's Gun.
Of course.
Neo-soul fans, I think we both are.
100%, yeah.
Speaking of, Voodoo by D'Angelo.
Yeah, of course.
Perfect album. 10 out of 10. So nice. So sexy.
It really is.
Just look at that album cover. And then my number one honorable mention of 2000, Lift Your Skinny Fists Like Antennas to Heaven.
Yeah, I wanted to put that on, but I haven't listened to it, felt dishonest.
You fool!
I know. Listen, I love Godspeed.
We were going to go to a concert.
I love F sharp, A sharp, Infinity. Like, we're still going to Swans.
We're still going to Swans. You'd love it. You'd love it so much. It's monolithic.
I know, it's just... It's also 85 minutes.
That's true. It is 85 minutes, but it is also one of the best albums ever made. So, like, do yourself a favor.
I'm probably going to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate the recommendations.
Any honorable mentions that I did not mention?
No, I was going to say Avalanches, but, like, you covered that.
Yeah. Would you like to get into your favorite album of 2001?
As a matter of fact, I would. And I think this one's pretty predictable. I would gander that you have the same, maybe.
We'll get there.
The Glow Part 2 by The Microphones.
Knew it.
Such just like a warm, comforting, sad album. The songs that are supposed to be scary work, but they're also paradoxically comforting.
Yeah.
The songs that are wraps you in like this warm blanket of like folk and fuzz. The lead singer is like a Phil Elverum is like a precious angel. I hope no one ever hurts him. And like the lyricism, man, is like so abstract and poetic and surreal. I'm just listing RYM descriptors.
You really
just so
are.
You know, manic.
But they're all correct.
Nocturnal. They're so male vocalist. I don't know. It's like a feeling album.
Yeah. This was so predictable.
Yep, I know.
Even before we were sitting next to each other in goth class with Alex Reed. Shout out Alex Reed, greatest professor in Ithaca.
Shout out Alex Reed. dude is crazy in a good way. Yep. I'm taking his electroacoustic class, actually. I'm making, like music concrete.
No, but I would, like, look across the room, and you'd, like, be responding to some question. I'd be like, that guy likes the microphones. I can just tell.
Yeah, kind of got, like a demure, affable vibe.
Yeah.
Which is Phil Elverum's vibe at the end of the day.
This album is amazing. This album is a 10 out of 10 for me. It is not my favorite album of 2001.
Hubba what?
Hubba what? My favorite album of 2001 is Daft Punk's Discovery. One more time.
Oh my god, I really need to get more into Daft Punk.
Yes. Have you also not listened to this?
I don't know what to do.
Discovery is my ultimate happy album. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel so nice and joyful. It's also probably my favorite workout album of all time. Mm. I have listened to this album at the gym more than I think any other album.
We got to circle back to, like, workout mixes because, like, I feel like mine is, like, so much.
It's just
so different from yours.
Bro has model actress on the workout playlist.
I mean, yeah, it's anger, you know?
Yeah. The sampling. There are so many albums from the 2000s that I could go on about the sampling, but the sampling on Discovery is amazing. Like, One More Time, where it's just chopping up, like, one song to make a profoundly catchy dance hook, or on something like Face to Face, which Todd Edwards has made the claim that there are 70 samples on this one song, which I find insane. The opening run of four tracks, One More Time, Aerodynamic, Digital Love, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, is like my favorite four-song opening run of any album ever, I think. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I love this album so much. Superheroes, Something About Us, Too Long. Every song is good.
The Glow Part 2 has my favorite three-song opening of all time.
It has such a good three-song
opening. And hell, Headless Horseman, too. It's got, like, the best 20-song opening I've ever heard, you know what I mean?
Sam, there are 20 songs on that album.
And so there are. No, but it's tied with Swans the Seer for my favorite of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Discovery is, like, the best thing ever. It's not. I don't even like it as much as Kid A, but it's, like, it's the most fun hour of, like, disco house that you will ever hear, and I love it deeply. What are your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions? For 2001?
Yes.
I don't have any?
You don't have any?
Question mark?
None are worthy?
Peasant music!
I don't think it's the best year overall, but my top five for 2001 are insane. So just as a top five, it's really stacked. I have Toxicity by System of a Down, which, again, getting into nu metal was, like, a great album. The Strokes, Is This It? Classic indie rock, needs no description. I do have The Glow Part 2.
Of course.
My third favorite. I'm sorry.
Man, that must have been a really good year for you.
It was. Björk, Vespertine, it's so good. It's so lovely. It sounds so nice. It was admittedly very close to being my number one, but it's not. All right, 2002. What do you got for 2002?
Man, Songs About Leaving by Carissa's Weird. It's And I just want to assure everyone listening who knows what that band is that I'm completely safe. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just, like, it's just sad. It's just a heart-wrenching experience. I feel, like, so sorry that, like, anyone went through what they had to go through to make an album like that. It's just, like, so grand and lush and, like, well-produced, but it's just, like, the lyrics are just, like, so... It's, like, the production of, like... Like a grand, like, symphonic rock band combined with, like, the lyrics of, like, a crappy, like, lo-fi Midwest emo project, like, in some kid's basement in Colorado. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does Colorado do basements?
Sometimes. I haven't listened to this album.
I
know.
There we go. First one.
First one. I do want to.
Everyone wants to.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. No, they do not. So depressive. Silently Leaving the Room just randomly popped up on my Spotify recommendations, which I don't really know what that says about me, but
Nothing great.
Yeah.
Nothing too great.
So that popped up, and that intrigued me. It was, like, beautiful. So You Want to Be a Superhero also is, like, I don't know. I have trouble describing music.
I do too.
You know what I mean? It's like I just like I don't really like analyze it from like an intellectual standpoint. I just kind of feel it.
I don't either, which is why these episodes are so fun.
Yeah.
I'm doing stuff I usually never do. I do want to get on this when I have a chance. Have you listened to my top album of 2002?
Well, I don't know because you haven't said it yet.
Oh my God, you're right. It's Yankee Hotel Foxtrot by Wilco.
Don't cry. You can rely on me, honey.
I have listened to the first song.
You've listened to
the
first
song. And I've listened to Jesus, Etc. because my dad played those songs for me while we were driving to the camera store so that I could get a camera.
And he didn't play Camera?
There was a song
There's a song on this album called Camera.
What?
With a K, but it's Camera nonetheless.
Dude, I feel cheated.
Yeah, no, you've heard the best songs off it, though. Yeah, I'm Trying to Break Your Heart is, like, such a good opener.
Oh, yeah.
When I re-listened to this for this episode, I was sitting alone with all the lights off in Emerson Suites as I was waiting for you to hang out with me.
That is the best situation under which you can listen to Wilco.
And I was playing Tetris on my laptop while also reading screenplays for writing for Screen Media.
That's so Wilco.
It's so Wilco. Jesus, Etc. is probably one of my favorite songs of the decade.
That line, our love is all of God's money, is like so layered.
It's so vibes.
So vibes.
Yeah, I really don't have a lot to say about this album. It's just, for me, like a pitch-perfect indie rock album that has no flaws. And I don't think its highs are as high, other than Jesus, Etc., as some of the other albums we're going to be talking about. But it has an incredibly consistent track list. It is calming, but also a little moody. It's just, it's vibes. You know, Camera's great. Heavy Metal Drummer's great. Poor Places is great. Ashes of American Flags. Every song on here is great.
Yeah, you're just going through the track
list. I'm just going through the track list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your honorable mentions for 2002? Any?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's From Filthy Tongues of Gods and Griots by the hip-hop group Dialect.
I have not heard this.
You've not? Have you heard of Dialect?
I've heard the name, but I've not heard the music.
It's spelled D-A-L-E-K, so almost like Dalek, but they've got like an umlaut over the A, so it's Dialect.
Yeah.
And it's like this like industrial rap outfit.
This album!
Yeah.
I recognize this album cover.
It's like this crazy blend of like noise and like spoken word and rap, psychedelic rock, and it's like a lot of people disregard MC Dialect as a writer, but I really like... I feel like more people should like hop on that train, you know. Like
I'll be one of them.
Absolutely, yeah. He's like he's a brilliant writer. His producer, whoever he chooses to work with under like the Dialect moniker, always brings like some really heavy and like introspective production to the table. And it's just like, I'm not gonna say a vibe because it's not a vibe. It's like an intellectual experience, but like it creates like such an atmosphere.
Or as I would say.
A vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. My honorable mentions for 2002 are Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age and Turn on the Bright Lights by Interpol, both of which I don't think are masterpieces, but they are both very, very good, very different rock albums. And yeah, they're vibes.
They are vibes.
All right, let's get into the first bad year of the decade.
2003.
Well, I feel like we have the same number one here.
It's likely.
We must.
So nice you had to do it twice. It's The Microphones again. Mount Eerie.
Let the flash flood begin.
That's
this
right.
This is also my number one of 2003.
Absolutely. It's everyone's number one of 2003,
because
I would
imagine.
Because
it's such a bad year.
It's a horrible year.
Awful.
But Mount Eerie is an all-timer. Do you want to talk about it
you
first?
You can talk about it first. You're the microphones guy.
It's this like really like grand concept album about like what happens after you die. It's kind of like partially informed by like bits of like philosophy and like various religions and kind of just like random insights that Phil Elverum had had. And it's a direct sequel to The Glow Part 2, because at the end of The Glow Part 2, which is also a concept album,
it's that noise.
Phil.
Then it comes back. It comes back.
Yeah, so that's Plus, there's like a little bit of I Want Wind to Blow at the beginning of Mount Eerie.
Yeah.
Like that little guitar riff. Dum, 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 dum. It's about like Phil's character's ascent to like the afterlife. It's barely even folk music.
It really you know isn't I mean? That much. Like, it is, but it also has so much more like ambient drone stuff.
Not even like noise rock. Just like noise.
Yeah.
And it's just like this like crazy like sound collage, very like minimal but like expressive lyricism.
Yeah.
And it actually has my favorite Microphone song of all time, which is Two Solar System.
That's such a good song.
It really is.
It's a really good song.
I have cried my eyes out to that song. I've been happy to that song. I've experienced every emotion on the human spectrum.
Yeah, I love Mount Eerie. I used to like it more than The Glow Part 2. I don't now after re-listening. But it is still amazing.
Because they're like tantamount, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it has some of those like psychedelic folk aspects of The Glow Part 2, but then completely is a change in sound from that. They're very distinct. Opens with the sun, 17 minutes, masterpiece.
Gigantic track.
Such an awesome track.
It does not feel like it was made in a studio. It feels like it was
really
made.
It really doesn't. Like... and then the whole rest of the album like keeps up that quality. It's sparse in a lot of places, but it's overwhelming with its noise in others. It is haunting.
Oh, yeah.
In a nice, fun, lo-fi way.
Mm-hmm.
This album is not for the faint of hearted. Do not throw this on Grandma and Grandpa. Please don't do it.
Not listen to Mount Eerie by the Microphones.
Don't do it.
Ethan's grandparents.
Oh, my God.
You seem like lovely people.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I don't know you.
Yeah.
You could be horrible.
They love every shout-out they get, no matter what it is.
How many have you given them?
More than enough. I ought to stop. Sad thing that I will say, because I know you are a huge Microphones fan, this is not a 10 for me.
Huh?
This is not a 10.
What is
this? This is a 9.5. It's close.
Oh, you're just splitting hairs. That rounds up to a 10.
Oh my God, no, it doesn't. Maybe on re-listens it gets there. It probably does, honestly.
You Fantano type. I'm feeling a decent to strong 9 on this one.
I am feeling a decent to strong 9 on this one. Yeah, it's not a 10 for me, and it's one of my two top albums of the year that is not a 10, but it's so close to a 10, and it is so obviously the best album of this year. I don't even have honorable mentions for 2003.
You're out here making me want to, like, refer to albums as cut, or, like, songs off albums as cuts. There are a few good cuts off of this project.
This LP.
But at the end of the day, I'm just not sure that it is the return to form that we were all hoping for. I'm feeling a decent to strong 6 on this project.
Transition. 2003 is bad. Oh, no honorable mentions for this year. Do you have any?
Let me check. I have 2.
Oh my God. You have 2 for this year?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, A Promise by Shushu.
Yes.
It's just like so grimy, you know, the cover is grimy. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a guy who like apparently is like a sex worker. The lead singer, Jamie Stewart, had kind of scouted out, asked him to, like pose with like a stuffed rabbit completely naked, which, you know, is kind of like a morally gray cover, but really perfectly conveys the feel of the album. Have you listened to it?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
The other one is, Boris at Last, Feedbacker. By Boris.
Have I listened to this? I don't think I've listened to this.
It's a single song that lasts like some like 40 minutes.
Yeah, I have not listened to this. Tell me about it.
All right, so it's basically instrumental. It's like this like crazy like psychedelic rock jam. It's got like some drone elements, some metal elements, some noise elements. And it's like this really, it just like feels like you're like trekking across a desert. It feels like it's from the 60s. And also, like, from a year we haven't reached yet.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's just, like, fantastic, like, album. It, like, says so much without words. It's just, like, a really nice experience.
New Jim album, let's go.
Oh, that's not a Jim album. It is a, that's not a, that is, not, I don't know what, I don't know what you're waffling about. Yeah, what is bro waffling about?
Who knows? Okay, 2004... I'll let you go first on this one.
All right.
I think I know what it is.
I feel like we have the same one, right?
Maybe.
You want to say it on 3?
So it's. I don't think it's the same one.
You want to say it on 3?
I don't think it's the same one. It's not. It's not. My pick is not the one you think it is.
All right, I'm gonna say
your pick is the one that I think it is.
Mad Villainy, MF Doom, and Mad Lib.
Tripping off the beat, kinda dripping off the meat grinder, heat niner, pimping, stripping, soft, sweet minor.
Second time that Mad Lib has appeared, he pulls out somehow even crazier beats than are on The Unseen, and Doom just like murders them all. I mean, chances are if you're listening to this podcast and you're not Ethan's grandparents, like, you know that like Doom raps like he invented hip hop.
Yeah.
It's like all this like multisyllabic.
I'm wearing my
stuff.
MF Doom shirt right now.
That's right. And you really haven't listened to enough of him to be able to wear.
I really haven't.
It's just like some really like beautiful like musicianship, some beautiful sampling. My favorite beat on it is probably accordion.
That's a really good beat.
And it's just, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's just like a wonky, like out of tune accordion that like Mad Lib somehow made funky.
The first time I listened to it, I was like, what is this? And then it's grown on me so much.
And, like, his bars are so funny, too. MF Doom's bars are so funny. It's, like, a hilarious album to listen to. And I don't know. Big fan.
Big fan, too. This is not my album of the year. I picked The College Dropout by Kanye West.
He nailed it well. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it
all right. I feel like this is going to get me in trouble when I say this. I'm removing any and all context of Kanye's like current or past personas. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a good rapper. Listen, I love his rapping on All Falls Down. I love his rapping on No More Parties in L.A., which would come out in 2016. I don't know. I think that he like brought some great ideas to the table in terms of production. He's like the Beatles to me in that way of like rap. Where
there's no way that you sleep soundly with Jaden as your roommate after saying that.
Like his production is like beautiful, but and it like really informed like so much of like what the current rap landscape looks like, the current pop landscape looks like. He did do something like genuinely new, and that's like cool. But by today's standards, it's like a little bit dated. I have trouble listening to it.
I get that. I do think out of the ones we've talked about so far, this is definitely the most dated. Mm-hmm. New workout plan isn't great. Not gonna come and defend that song. And of course, just to get the disclaimer out of the way, Kanye's not a good dude.
Not a fan.
Like I'm not gonna fight you when you like bring him down because he's not one who's worth defending.
There like if you spend like any time on Reddit, which like if you're listening to this podcast and you're not Ethan's grandparents, you probably do.
Maybe.
Probably too much time. Go outside.
But get some air.
Touch grass. But like the r/Kanye community is like
really toxic.
Really toxic.
Yeah.
Defending this guy like they know him personally.
No, yeah. At the end of the day, I do think it comes down to my ability in most cases to separate art from the artist. And I do disagree with you on just the quality of the music. I will agree, Mad Villainy is the best album of 2004.
But College Dropout is your favorite.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I think that distinction is important.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This album is very personal to me. Kanye, unfortunately, was the artist that did get me into music. And I know. I'm a disappointment to myself, my family, my friends, everyone, my gods that I don't believe in. No, this album was a big part of me getting into music. And again, Mad Villainy is the right pick, but it's such a major piece of me becoming the music nerd that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more pop-oriented sound for rap, completely changed the game in that way. Like, the whole Chipmunk Soul style of production is amazing. This opened the door for a lot of more conscious hip-hop, I think. Especially this coming out, like, in the Bling era, when it was just, like, money, girls, drugs. Like, it's not about that as much. Like, Spaceship is just about hating your job.
Working class folks.
Yeah.
I feel like Rakim did like a lot more for conscious hip hop than
I'm not gonna say it's just Kanye, obviously. Tracklist time. Like between All Falls Down, Slow Jams, and Spaceship, there are a lot of really chill tracks that like my brother loves to play just in the car. Those are fun. Jesus Walks is fire. It's just straight fire.
Through the Wire
Through the Wire is amazing. Through the Wire, which I know it's one of those facts that everybody just loves to say. He got into a car crash and he rapped this song with his jaw wired shut. Bro.
That is pretty crazy. It's a shame. It's a shame that he just like does not put that kind of effort into his music anymore.
Not at all. But yeah, I talked about the insane four-track opening on Discovery between Two Words, Through the Wire, Family Business, and Last Call. This is an insane four-track closing run and is one of my favorites in that regard. The Netflix documentary series that they did on Kanye.
Genius.
Genius, yes. Which delves so much into the production, really, of this album. Was so cool just to see. Maybe it was just to see how an album is made, but also this album, which is a very personal pick.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. Obviously, Mad Villainy, which is the best album of the year. It's one of the best albums of the decade. It's one of the best albums of all time, maybe.
Yeah.
I have Food, because MF Doom just went off in 2004. Yep. And then I have, just sticking with the trend of problematic artists, I have Arcade Fire's Funeral.
Oh, yeah. We were watching Popstar Never Stop, yes. Never Stopping, and they popped up on
they
screen.
Did.
And I was like, oh, hey, fun fact. It's not that fun.
It's not that fun, yeah. No, I do like The Suburbs more than Funeral, but Funeral is so similar to Is This It for indie rock, is such like a monumental album for the genre. Yeah, Tunnels is like the best opening track ever. What are your honorable mentions?
I have one, and that is Fabulous Muscles by Juju again.
Nice. Which I have not heard. I have not heard this one.
The closing track. It's about the Jamie Stewart's father who had committed suicide, taking his own life.
I know what suicide is.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes you don't know what words mean. You know, yeah. You remember the other day when I tried to tell you what because meant?
Yeah.
You got really mad and you flipped a chair? That's my pick.
Cool.
Those are my picks.
2005.
Modal Soul by Nujabes.
Seeing the headlines line with discord, it's either genocide or the planet in uproar. Never good. The rules of paradise are never nice. The best laid plans of mice and men are never right.
I knew it.
It's another like really comforting album. Yeah, this album's just like so like warm. The like the boom bap influences, instrumental hip hop album. It's got like the jazz influences, the new jazz influences, and that's NU jazz, not N.E.W. jazz,
yeah.
different genre. And then there's like the house influences too. It's just like this like melting pot of like all these different styles, and it just like really, there's one song that kind of has like this like tribal drumming. It's just like, listen, I feel like insufficient as a guest because I just keep ending my sentences with like, yeah, it's just good.
Because it is.
Yeah. The guest rappers are like uniformly good, not great.
Yeah.
Except Shingo, too, who's, you know, phenomenal. But the production really makes up for it. It's my favorite of the year.
Yeah. I ought to listen to this again, because I've only heard it once. And I have Feather's the only song that I've, like, listened to since listening to the album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so lovely.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Lovesick 3 man myself.
That on Album of the Year I'm looking at has the highest rating. It has a 99.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. 100% of users like this song.
100%.
Yeah, I want to listen.
So-called free thinkers when Lovesick 3 comes on.
Yeah, I do love this album a lot. It's not my number one, but it is one of my honorable mentions. I do love it dearly. However, Runaway Victory, top three album of the decade for me, is Sufjan Stevens' Illinois.
I cry myself.
This is going to be kind of...
You might fight about this one.
This is going to be kind of tough, because when Illinois is good, it's so good.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Come On, Feel the Illinois. John Wayne Gacy Jr. and...
I will get into every song on this album.
Kazmir Pulaski Day.
Yeah.
All in my top songs ever.
Yeah.
That said, it feels like it just goes on a little bit too long, and it's, like, too quirky.
Is it the interludes that do it for you, that drag
that,
it down?
That's part of it. And then, like, it's, like, the equivalent of, like, a Wes Anderson movie in album form.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I know Wes Anderson's good, but I just don't really care for his work.
That's okay. That is all right. I'm going to fight you. This made me very sad that you don't appreciate this album the way I do.
Oh, I appreciate it. I just don't like it.
This is one of my favorite albums of all time. I have this on my dorm room wall This album is a masterpiece. It is, like, it's that nice brand of chamber folk that doesn't hit all the time, but when it does, it's my favorite genre, I think.
Uh-huh.
It is huge. It is so huge. It's such, like, an ambitious, grandiose, vast, like, the orchestral production is insane. We've already made this reference, the whole, like, did you know Tame Impala is just one guy?
Yeah.
People talk about, like, Igor being just Tyler. This is the album that I point to as, like, the hell did this guy do this by himself?
He's like a savant.
Literally insane. Yeah, it's a concept album about the state of Illinois, but then it's also got, like, religious references, a lot of, like, poetic stuff in there.
Listen, I'm like kind of an agnostic, but I really appreciated those.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. It's like I don't personally identify with it, but when it's done well in music, it's like it's the best.
Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah, my obsession with like overly theatrical genre blending stuff with like classical Baroque influence is insane. It's like this and Janelle Monáe's The Archandroid are like the two that I point to.
See, I'm just not really into, like, ornate.
That's okay.
You know what I mean?
That's okay. The long song titles on here...
They are pretty funny.
They're so hilarious. The Black Hawk War, or How to Demolish an Entire Civilization and Still Feel Good About Yourself in the Morning, or We Apologize for the Inconvenience, but You're Going to Have to Leave Now, or I Have Fought the Big Knives and Will Continue to Fight Them Until They Are Off Our Lands. That's one song title for all the folks at home. It's so funny, though.
It is.
I do love the short little interludes between the songs. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sam. They hit me.
I'm glad they do. I really am.
They build a soundscape that is, it's just so nice. I love the flow from track to track.
I so wish I could agree. Like, genuinely, I wish that
I could
like this more
than I
did. You know
what? It's okay to be wrong. I was wrong with 2004. You can be wrong here. So it's all right. You mentioned Come On, Feel the Illinois.
That's right.
Insane. Such, like, a masterpiece of just everything. It's so expansive.
And it's emotional, too.
It's so emotional. John Wayne Gacy Jr., super sad. Super sad.
Incredibly sad. Like, I think it's like maybe like one of like the most empathetic songs ever written.
Totally. Yeah.
Cuz like it makes you like feel bad for maybe one of the worst and most deranged men in history.
As I've gotten more into lyrics, this is one song that has like jumped out to me as holy god.
Yeah, it's he's a poet, not John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. No,
Sufjan.
Yeah, Jacksonville is when the album gets like really folky, and I love it. Chicago is awesome. Casimir Pulaski Day is awesome. Predatory Wasp. Oh my God. Fair Night Zombies is really cool. I love like the percussion on that. Tallest Man Broad Shoulders is epic. It is like a part two almost of Come On, Feel the Illinois. I'm gonna stop rambling, but I love this album so much. It means so much to me.
I'm so glad it does. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm pissed that I can't like this more than I do.
It's okay. What are your honorable mentions, if you have any?
Yeah, I have one, and that's Francis the Mute by the Mars Volta.
Nice.
I was just talking about how I don't love ornate.
Yeah.
That is ornate.
Terrible honorable mention to have for this year.
Ornate as they come. It's so pretentious. It's so stupid and self-indulgent. But I love it so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the one. It's like one of like the few exceptions to like my, like, no camp taste. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, imagine like the most like ridiculous like self-filleting prog rock album you can imagine like in existence.
Yeah.
It's like 10 times that.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics mean nothing and everything at the same time.
I have Modal Soul on my honorable mentions. Awesome.
Fair.
We'll mention Kanye again with Late Registration.
I like Lupe Fiasco's feature on Touch the Sky.
My high school broadcast TV show that I worked on used that as the theme song. Just a fun fact.
The instrumental or like the full
the
thing?
The instrumental.
Okay, that's fair.
Great
instrumental.
Yeah, I have Demon Days by Gorillaz.
I've not listened to Gorillaz.
Not. Okay, it's... What is it? Fourth, fifth favorite album of the year? It's like Feel Gooding, obviously. Dare, obviously. All those. Just very good. Nice trip hop.
Nice.
And then I have B by Common,
uh-huh.
which is like the most underrated hip hop album ever.
I still gotta listen.
I mean, it's definitely more of a mainstream sound, like Kanye produced. I keep mentioning Kanye. I gotta stop mentioning Kanye.
Didn't like Dilla do a beat on it?
Yeah. No, it's just it's another one of my happy albums. It's so good. All right, moving on. 2006.
2006.
Go for it.
On the subject of Dilla, I'm gonna go with Donuts.
We got the same pick.
Let's go. It's like this. It's like another like sound collage-y type of thing. Instrumental hip hop.
It's a beat tape.
It's a beat tape. That's right. And the disproven urban legend is that Jay Dilla recorded it on his deathbed when he was suffering from lupus, but he didn't. He recorded it on his hospital bed while he was suffering from lupus. And it's so eclectic, you know, like it, yeah. I have heard it described as like you're just flicking through TV channels on like another planet.
That's very accurate.
It all has like this through line of being like very like lush and jazzy, but like also like kind of like aggressive and like forward moving.
Yeah.
You can just like feel the love that he had for like his craft in it because the sampling is just so intricate, you know, like he had to spend like so long.
Right.
Working on these beats.
Yet another... How the hell did one person do this?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, this is also my album of 2006. This and maybe Introducing by DJ Shadow are like my two favorite instrumental hip-hop albums, I think.
Introducing's great.
Yeah. This might be my favorite, honestly. This is the first time I'm not going to go through the whole track list just because it's not one of those albums. It's
40 tracks.
Yeah, it's just...
Like 30 tracks. The album's 45 minutes 31. Long. It's some TikTok...
No, yeah, this is not an album I ever come back to unless I am listening to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when I am, it is such a great experience.
Listen, I bump Time Donut of the Heart semi-often.
We're working on it. It's been on some playlists. Working on it.
Oh, baby, you.
Yeah, Rip J. Dilla died 3 days after this was released.
Wait, three days?
3 days.
Oh, so it was like a David Bowie situation with Black Star.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't have a lot to say about it. You kind of hit everything. Good album. You have honorable mentions for 2006?
Honorable mentions for 2006? No. What about you?
I have two. I have Back to Black by Amy Winehouse.
All the respect to Amy Winehouse. Not much of an Amy Winehouse person.
You don't have to be.
Yeah. She really put in the work, though.
Yeah. Just deserves, like, all of its modern classic status that it's gotten. And then I also have East, I think is how you pronounce it, by Joanna Newsom, mm-hmm. which, going back to, like, my undying love for, like, chamber folk.
Of course.
One of the best, like a fairy tale in album form, it feels like. And it's not on Spotify, which angers me, because it has made me go back to less, but it feels just so lush and vast.
Local files, you know what I mean? Soulseek. For everyone at home who isn't Ethan's grandparents, Soulseek is a great place to find music.
I'm going to get into 2007. I'm going to go first.
All right.
Anyone who knows me knows what I am picking here. It's the basic one. I have In Rainbows by Radiohead. In the deepest ocean. I need to talk about In Rainbows because it is not only my favorite album of 2007, it is not only my favorite Radiohead album, it's my favorite album of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I love this thing so much. Comparatively, it's way happier and warmer in like the context of Radiohead's discography, which really sets it apart. I love it. It's one of the few Radiohead albums that I can throw on when I'm not totally depressed, and it works. I'm just going to go through the entire track list. Because every song is amazing. 15 Step is a great opener with like that glitchy 5-4 drumming is awesome. Body Snatchers rocks. The guitar break 2 minutes in is like my favorite moment on the entire album. Nude is my favorite Radiohead song. It is so beautiful. It is like the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Weird Fishes is like so serene, and then it gets to like that percussion break, and that's awesome. The climax on All I Need is beautiful. Faust Arp is the worst song on the album, and it's still a 9 out of 10. Reckoner is, like, makes me cry maybe more than any other song. House of Cards is really chill, and I love it. Jigsaw Falling Into Place, obviously, is a banger. Goes so hard. And then Videotape is a crushing closing track. This is my favorite thing ever. The Pay What You Want, like, release that they did was, like, revolutionary. In my music and media class a couple weeks ago, we just talked about that for, like, 30 minutes of just how they released this album. Like, just flexing, kind of. Yeah, this is my favorite album of all time. So sorry to any other album that I ever talk about on this podcast, but you're not as good as this one. I'm sorry. I love it so much. Ah! Talk about your favorite.
All right, my favorite is For Emma Forever Ago by Bon Iver. Talking about basic picks, that's like numero uno. That's like the first vinyl anyone gets. but no disrespect to people who love For Emma Forever Ago. I'm one of them. It's a hug from someone who is sadder than you.
That's such a good way to describe it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, you're sad, and, like, you could really use a hug, but the person giving you a hug is so much sadder than you will ever be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, you just, like, feel each other's pain exquisitely in that hug, and that hug lasts, like, 30-something minutes in album form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Restacks, best song of all time.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It's like tied for first with like 15 other songs. it's just like a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
No honorable mentions.
No honorable mentions for
2007.
You. I have several, even though this is like the most clear cut album of the year for me for any of these years. There are, I think 2007 is really good still. For Emma Forever Go, obviously, on my list. Amazing, so sad.
Of course.
Flume is the one that gets me. LCD Sound System, Sound of Silver is awesome. Is one that when I did my deep dive didn't hit me the way that This Is Happening did when I did my 2010 deep dive, but going back and re-listening to it since, so good. So good. And then of course, you know, what kind of Jew am I if I don't mention Kanye West Graduation?
Let's go.
Hey, yo.
But he made Graduation.
He did make Graduation. No, this is the one that they point to defend him. And it's like...
It's not even his best.
It's not his best. It's so flawed, but it's also like, it's so nostalgic. I did the thing where I listened to this the morning of my high school graduation.
Oh, yeah. Because
of course I did.
I was listening to like Spiritualized on my high school graduation, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, all these albums are amazing. Have you listened to In Rainbows?
I've not.
You gotta do that!
I told you, I'm like Radiohead illiterate.
Yeah, no, it's the best album that we're talking about here today, so you should
listen
to
True Love Waits, but it's shoegaze on YouTube.
I would definitely say, like, Lift Your Skinny Fists and Kid A more than this. I think you'll like more, probably. Okay. But yeah, again, it's my favorite album of all time. Please listen to it. Everyone listening to this podcast that is not listening in Rainbows, listen in Rainbows. It's the best thing ever. It's so good. 2008. We've got to have the same one here, unless you haven't listened to it.
Dawn Winter Journal by Mount Eerie.
I bellow out my voice, I yell out loud, I have my shirt off in front of a crowd.
That's not... Oh, wow, okay.
So, Mount Eerie is the second alias of Phil Elverum, who I've talked about as extensively as I have on this podcast.
Yeah.
He basically, after the release of Mount Eerie, the album, under his name, The Microphones, he disbanded The Microphones, started up his own solo project called Mount Eerie, and released Dawn Winter Journal. Now, Dawn Winter Journal was actually recorded in a lodge in Norway in 2004.
Really?
Yeah. He just, like, he lived, like, a hermit life for, like, one winter. And out of it came just, like, some really sparse, not noisy at all, just, like, a dude and his guitar, I don't know, he, like, makes, like, the tiniest words sound big and, like, the biggest words sound small.
I have not listened to this album.
Grr!
I know. I have listened to Moon Sequel, which is awesome, but I haven't listened to the whole album. And I want to, because I've heard good things from others and now you.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And I am very surprised that we don't have the same number one here.
All right,
I thought for sure that you would pick this. My top album of 2008, I have Death Consciousness by Have a Nice Life. I feel the power.
so I wanted to pick that one, but
I haven't heard it. Okay.
Which is weird, because, like, I've heard, like Giles Corey.
Yeah. And Giles Corey definitely is more, like, the personal pick for me, but I think this is better, this is bigger, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I love using the word monolithic to describe albums. It makes me so pretentious. Yeah. But this is that. No, this album is insane. It is so bleak. It is so apocalyptic. Like many of my other top picks, it's giant. So that's awesome. Just for a listening experience. I threw this on when I was out around campus taking photos for my intro to photo project. And I was like exploring crevices of campus that I'd never gone to before, just with pounding shoegaze in my ears, which was awesome. Yeah, it's a double album split into The Plow That Broke the Plains and The Future. And it is, I haven't delved too deep into like lyrics or like backstory beyond the album, but I do want to, because I know Giles Corey has like a whole screenplay attached to it.
Oh, an entire screenplay.
This album has an amazing start with A Quick One Before the Eternal Worm Devours Connecticut, right, and
like
Blood Hail,
I've heard that.
Which back to back opening the album are just insane. I feel like A Quick One Before the Eternal Worm is like ascension to heaven, and then Blood Hail is some guy dragging you down to hell because they realize that you weren't supposed to be in heaven. Terrible analogy, but
I mean, it sounds apt.
That's how I would describe it.
I can't confirm or deny.
Yeah. Another favorite off the album is Holy Bad Word, 40,000.
Effing S.
That. Also amazing. It has a lot more like a electronic production than the rest of the album, which is noticeable, and it stands out, but like in a good way. And then also the final two tracks, I Don't Love and Earth Mover, are like flooring. They're so insane. I love this thing.
I gotta listen.
This and Lift Your Skinny Fist are the two, I would say, for you. But yeah, this wasn't even my album of the year when I did the deep dive, but in going back to it since, either specific tracks or just re-listening, I've re-listened to it twice since then, it's a titan of an album. It's so good. Yeah. What are your honorable mentions, if you have?
Honorable mentions. None.
None.
No.
I don't even disagree with that.
No honorable mentions.
2008, beyond...
Bit sparse here.
Yeah, beyond like a couple really great albums, pretty weak year. I have the Vampire Weekend self-titled, which for nostalgic purposes...
I gotta tell you, not much of a Vampire Weekend guy.
Yep. No, this is just a very quick, happy, fun, lighthearted album. Was never a 10 for me, but it was one that I considered to be a favorite for a while. I still really love it. That's it though. 2008's pretty weak year.
Pretty barren.
And then what's worse is 2009.
I have two really good albums that I like that year.
All right. Well, what is your number one?
My number one is none other than Buster by the band Admiral Angry. Heaviest sludge metal album to ever come out. So, like, enveloping. I accidentally recommended it to my mom.
Oh, no.
And then she texted me and asked me if I was okay.
Oh, no, Sam.
Which, like, mom, no, we've talked. No, I'm doing good. But it's just, like, these, like, crazy, just, like, slow riffs. The end, the final track, The Illusion of Strength, just like... I don't know how they tune their guitars as low as they do.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just scary work.
Which I haven't listened to and want to. What's your other one?
Divorce Lawyers, I Shaved My Head by Jordan Mason. So that's an album that they did about gender dysphoria. And it's a concept album that takes place during a fictional war in the 1990s, but independent of the war, it focuses on like a couple who like are both experiencing gender dysphoria, and they just like really feel what they're saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I am going to get into my number one for 2009, which really isn't my number one for 2009. There were like four albums that I was bouncing back and forth between, because 2009 is a bad year for music.
Can we get a fact check on that?
It's awful. It might be my least favorite year for music, like, of my lifetime. I think it is.
Wow.
Yeah. No, there were four I was bouncing between. Ultimately, I landed on another very basic music nerd pick. I have Animal Collective's Merryweather Post Pavilion.
Sweet summer night and I'm stripped to my sheets. 4 minutes leak and my AC squeaks. And a voice from the clock says you're...
Which I love. It's awesome. But I do only have it at a 9 out of 10, and it is the only top album of the year of the entire century that is not even a 9.5, it's just a 9. Just a very bad year for music.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Pretty bad.
But you haven't heard those two albums.
I haven't. They might spice it up a little.
I really feel that you should.
I will. No, but this album is awesome. I've never really connected that much with Animal Collective. It's like... I don't know. It's a style of music that I, similar to you, I guess, with a lot of these, I really admire it. It's just never connected with me personally.
That's fair.
And this album is the one that has. It's listed on Album of the Year as, like, psychedelic pop, indie-tronica, which sounds very right. Another just fairly upbeat for a lot of it. Not the whole thing, but it's, like, it feels like it's a very good spring album.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very excited to, like, go out on campus when the weather gets more consistently better and throw this on, because it's like it's a weird blend that shouldn't work, where it's like a lot of synths, a lot of electronic stuff, but it feels very natural. Like there's a natural liveliness that you usually don't get with those instruments that I think you get here, which is cool. Yeah, My Girls is really good. Summertime Clothes is awesome. Bluish is a personal fave of mine. Really good album. In a year with not many great albums. My honorable mentions for here, I have Sweet Trip with You Will Never Know Why, which was very, very close to taking the number one spot. I have Kid Cudi with Man on the Moon, which, uh-oh.
I'm not a Cudi guy. I respect the hell out of him. I really do. He has, like, a very unique way of, like, translating his pain into, like, art.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really the way that I find appealing.
That's okay. Yeah, that's an album I point to a lot, with like just a really great blend of pop, hip-hop, rock, just all the main genres.
Yeah.
And then Paramore with Brand New Eyes. I am a huge Paramore fan, and this was my album of the year after the deep dive. Since gone down a little, maybe just because I've listened to more Paramore lately, so I'm like comparing it more.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't stand as high above the others.
I like Paramore.
But this rocks.
I love Misery Business.
Misery Business is so good.
We need to do like another episode where like we do like the tens.
We can do the tens. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that is our albums list. Thank you all for listening. Sam, thanks for being here.
Of course. Can I plug?
You can plug, yeah.
All right. For anyone listening, check out my music on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, Deezer. It's under the alias When It Comes Down, and it's folk, it's shoegaze, it's noise, and I try not to be pretentious about it. It's just me like saying a bunch of things that I think. I have an Instagram for it too. It's WICD music. So yeah, if you feel so inclined, check that out. No hard
Please
feelings if you
out.
Don't.
It's really good. Grandma and Grandpa, do not check it out. It will scare you.
It's kind of scary.
Don't do that. But well, anyone else.
Wait, it's scary?
I mean, comparatively.
Okay, fair. Yeah, to like 70, 80-year-olds, like, sure.
Yeah. This has been Pop Off. We'll see you all next time. Sam, we won't see you. You won't be here.
It was lovely meeting you all.
And we'll have you on again, probably, for a 2010s list.
All right,
so
awesome.
To do that. Because I do also like the 2010s more than the 2000s.
Likewise.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
It's been real.
See ya.
Live from New York. It's Saturday night.
Yay.